It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Of me, Ernest Hancock, where I'm trying to keep myself alive and thrive by telling you everything so they have to take all you all out too. Ha, 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 ha. You're in with me. Now, what's happening is it's starting to come out that there's been a big, inside the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department, there are individuals that have been, you know, part of the drug running, people smuggling kind of thing, and it's going to start. We'll see what happens, you know, because I've never been, you know, surprised at how much the media has been able to hide a lot of this stuff. I mean, it gets to the point that nothing surprises me anymore. And people get frustrated. They contact me and they say, Ernie, nobody's telling this story. Fine, write it up. You know, connect all the dots. Pull the stories that, you know, the only time it breaks in New York City, you know, different publications there before it even get reported here. So I go, you guys bring this all together? You know, well, I have no problem putting it up, but you make sure that you're right. So I'm going to go ahead and get all this information out from what I know and what we've uncovered over the years so that I can put it up and, you know, everybody already knows anyway. So, you know, hey, man, go take out somebody else. Because what they did is there was an investigative reporter, the Arizona Republic, named Don Bowles. And as he accumulated the information, it made him worth killing. He didn't die right away. He lingered on for another 11 days, but the man, it wasn't for lack of effort. You look at the inside of his car, just peeled back like a bloom, just right under his seat, blew the crap out of him. Both legs gone. I mean, you know, it was a rack IED kind of thing. So he lasted long enough that he was able to share with people that came to his rescue what happened, who did it, and go investigate. It was amazing. The investigation went on over a decade. And finally, they get somebody in appeals and turn state's evidence, and this guy and that guy, and somebody got to do time, and this guy, and he got off, and it just outquitted drama. Drama. Investigative reporters and editors, IRE.org, they made a name for them bringing in all these investigative reporters to Arizona to infiltrate the state in politics and crime and make sure that they could write the story. Well, they did. It didn't get published here in Arizona. You had to bring in the Los Angeles Times by the truckload in order for people to read. They read it. They had it read on AM talk radio. It was back in the day. They would be, you know, just pulling over the side of the road. I remember this was a big deal. My parents talking about it. And I didn't, you know, you got reporters getting blown up. You kind of tend to pay attention. You have, they're talking about it in school. Teachers mentioned something. Okay, I remember when this went on. It wasn't until years later I read the book that I knew why it was such a big deal. But it also emphasized how, you know, the local media is like, heck no, they didn't cover it because they're part of it. All right. So they didn't cover it. LA Times going there reading it. There's a book done by a gentleman. His name's, it's up here. Done that. The Arizona Project. He wrote the book. That book was copied in bootleg copies for the 1986 gubernatorial election by a local car dealer owner of a Pontiac dealership here named Evan Meekum. But in the late 60s and some of the 70s and so on, he was a state legislator also. Very conservative, Mormon community. Guy, you know, upstanding individual, and he's all proud of his morality, and he's going to go fix government. There was another gentleman that served at the same time. His name was Sam Steiger. You hear me talk about Steiger's Law. You know, the no matter what organization you create about around whatever issue, sooner or later, the organization becomes more important than the issue you created it for. So it's just any organization always becomes corrupted. That's just the way it works. So I'm all about decentralizing. There is no organization. Steiger and Evan, they served together. Evan was a very moral kind of, no, I won't. I want to rule you and tell you how to live and morally and whatever. But he was, in his opinion, incorruptible. And he had a lot of people that supported him because of that. Steiger is one of those kind of, you know, curmudgeon kind of types. Yeah, you know, it's all folksy wisdom, you know, kind of a Perot type. And, you know, his morality was up for grabs. He and I got to know each other well, you know, before he had a stroke and so on. But what happened was he played the game enough that he was sent off and elected as a congressman. You don't get to be a congressman unless you're one of the boys. So that played into a lot of my, you know, awareness. And later on, as I got to know him and the inside stuff in the late 80s, early 90s. During this time that Evan Mecham in the 86 election for governor, keep in mind, the trial's still going on. It's 5, 6, 7 years after this. It's still fresh, and certainly the people that were under threat of going to jail, this stuff was coming out. People around knew they just got to drag it out long enough that they can change the lead, something else, talk about something else. Not, you know, it's just time kind of heals the wounds deal. But Evan got elected, freaked him out. There was a third-party person came in, pulled votes from the other side. Then they changed the law. We got to have 51% in order to be governor. So in 1990, there was a write-in candidate that ran on a pro-life slate, got only 10,000 votes, and nobody got 50 plus 1%. It was like 49 point and 49 point. And this one guy threw it in the re-election campaign between the now Attorney General. No, he was Attorney General until just last election. Terry Goddard versus Fife Symington. Now, Fife Symington would be resigned later after he didn't kiss butt to the federal government. And he's, you know, pardoned by Clinton. I mean, nobody's got anything on corruption in Arizona. I mean, you know, damn. But during that 90 election, it went into a runoff and they go, that was too much money. We shouldn't do that. They changed the law back again. Now it doesn't matter. So they just did it just for Mecham. And then they changed it back because it actually happened and they didn't want to play. But Mecham got elected with less than 50 plus 1%. You know, I think it was in the 30s or 40s or something. So in a three-year race, he wins, he gets in, and man, they hammered on him. Here comes the press. Every day, it's always something. All the stuff that he was talking about, even the conspiratorial stuff, was true. Everybody knew it to be true. It was just they kept hammering on him. So became laughing stock, you know, of course, the way they put it in the country. He didn't want to do the Martin Luther King holiday. We're not paying for another holiday for a federal whatever. And he had communist ties anyway and all this other stuff. So it's a racist thing. And we have a very small black community here anyway. But, you know, we're boycotting. We're not having whatever in Arizona because they're not, you know, with the brothers. All right. So I didn't have an opinion either way back then. It was just, you know, politics. So what happened was, they did the book. He distributed 20,000 copies of it, and it really had a big impact in politics. It kept getting copied and distributed, and this thing just would not go away. In 1990-91, right at the tail end of this, this just starts to go, Rick Romney's county attorney, he had both his legs blown off in a rocket attack in Vietnam, and he was, you know, a war hero kind of guy, and, you know, no compromise, hard, go kick their butt. A county attorney. And of course he walked fine. I didn't even know he had the artificial leg until it came up. What he did is he said, we're going to show just how corrupt the legislature is. So he hired an undercover guy that was some, you know, loosely mob affiliated, could talk the talk out of Las Vegas. And his name was Joe Stadino. He would go around and he opened up an office downtown. And they just invite legislators saying they wanted to legalize gambling in a certain way, however they want to do it, some bill legislation. And any legislator that wanted to meet with them, be buddies, they had some money for them. Sure enough, they lined up. It was lying around the building. I mean, it was one after another on videotape taking the money. Well, that didn't go over well. This is all linked together in why you're never going to fix the drug war or immigration, and Arizona points as to exactly why and how big the agencies that come here to make sure of it. We're getting there. You stay tuned.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Hey, Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better.
Yeah, we're going to try and take a sad song and make it better. I mean, if we can learn from a lot of our mistakes in the history of things. You know, you kind of, I don't know if it's worth it or not to go through all this stuff, but there's a lot of pain that a lot of people go through, and if we don't take advantage of learning from the past, then not only are you destined to repeat it, you're just setting yourself up for it to even happen worse. So I want to share this stuff with you. Now, we're up to Evan Meekum coming in, being governor, but you got to, in the context of what's happening here, is that the Arizona Project uncovered a lot of things. What it showed was immigration and drugs were all part of the same kind of club that was making an enormous amount of money on it because it was illegal. Right here where I live now in northwestern Phoenix, to the closest mall to me is called Arrowhead Mall. Well, it used to be that entire area before they built homes all over and everything was citrus groves. What a lot of people don't know, in Arizona, we were number one, number two in cotton. We were number two or number three in orange juice, oranges production. It was Florida, California, Arizona, or it would be California, Arizona, Florida, or Florida, Arizona, California, depending on what the weather was there, because it was always pretty consistent here. It's sunshine 300 and something days a year, and all they did was irrigate and water, and they just, you know, you had water, things grow. That's just the way it works here. Enormous, even our state seal, agriculture and mining. So you add to that real estate, and they start taking up a bunch of the agriculture, you know, but the Arrowhead area, you know, this is where the Goldwater family gets involved. There's a lot of other politicians in this and so on. Long story, bottom line, this. They would take busloads of immigrant workers from Mexico, just put them on the bus, go across the border, boom, take them up here, work, promise you all kinds, you're going to make money, send back family, dude, and they work, get and pay them, ship them off, take them back, leave them out in the desert, whatever, you don't get paid, what are you going to do about it? Because they weren't legal, they didn't have any recourse, they didn't speak the language, all they knew is they go pick oranges and I'll give them my money, and they wouldn't get what they were promised, or they promised they'd have it down there. There's a thing called, what'd they call it? Not the maquilator, it was called Busy Hands in Spanish. Can't remember what it was called. But anyway, it was a program that was big during the Reagan administration when he was governor in California. And it was a program by which you could come up here and work, but the money was sent, or a large portion of it, to banks in Mexico, that you would go there. You know, look that up, Sierra. It was Work Program 60s. Mexican Workers Banks Mexico, and I bet you it comes up on a Google. That's bugging me. What happened was they would ship the money to Mexico, and the incentive was for them to go back to Mexico, and there they have all this money waiting on them. Well, the money wasn't there. They go, hey, well, we sent it, pinky swear. Or the people there go, hey, you know, we didn't get it. And then they just took it and spent it. So all this was going on, taking advantage of these immigrant workers that they thought they're legit, they're cool, they're getting on a bus, they come up here, they go. What they did is, she's writing it down for me, what they did is they went ahead and just blew these people off, and it got to where there was a labor uprising, to where these immigrant workers, they start having people that were, you know, either lived up here, got out of it, they're accepted, they spoke Spanish, and they were living in the orchards and in the groves. They go in and they would have the people just living amongst them, you know, all their belongings and clothes hang strung out between the trees. God, they're living in the orchards. They do the work. They want to get paid. Yeah, Bracero program. I think it means busy hands or something. Like, I can't remember what. Bracero program. That's what it was called. So they weren't getting paid. They started trying to organize labor. That's why here in Phoenix, you got to, you know, Hugo Chavez Memorial down there and all this kind of stuff, because, you know, the grape workers in California, and they were kind of, you know, organizing here. But then all of a sudden, people started showing up hanged from telephone poles, from utility poles around the orchards. They'd have them sticking up above the orchards up there, you know, 30, 40 feet high or however high they are. And there's a guy dead hanging, saying, this is what we think are you unionizing. Get it? So this is the kind of stuff that was going on. So what happened then is Meekum comes in and so on and distributes this book around telling the story of what all these undercover reporters were finding out and how this system worked in immigration and in the drug trade. Now, a lot of politicians and people that were elected and prominent figures and so on, they were living the high life, but they had some houses that had two-way mirrors in bedrooms where they had them on film having sex with prostitutes and hookers and this and that and so on. They had them under control. Oh, they don't do that anymore because that'd be wrong, right? So anyway, so all this is going on. It's starting to come out. They don't want to print this in the local newspaper. You got to have newspapers shipped in from around the country. You didn't have the internet then. So you actually have truckloads of these coming in to read them live on the talk radio, that kind of stuff. All right. And this is before talk radio was big. You know, you had a couple of stations, one or two guys. They were the voice of Arizona. You know, I remember these guys. So, and got to meet them and work with them even, you know, when I got older. So I'm going, all right. So this information is becoming public. At the time, you have interest in the federal government and in the state government and in politics. They want to keep this little gravy train going, and it's a lot of money. All of a sudden, you have this Romley character. He's, you know, who the heck is he? Well, he's county attorney. He's doing a sting. He brings in, mafioso types from Vegas to be, you know, his front guy and put off this thing going, hey, man, come on in. I give you cash. They're videotaping all this. One legislator after another, after another, after another. This is when I start getting involved as a young man. This was going on in the early 90s. I have already come across a corrupt. I could see they were corrupt. I would give files to reporters, say, look, when this all breaks loose, these guys are the who's who of this. I already know, man, they're scum. And when this happens, you just let me know that, sure enough, it came out in ASCAP. It was a who's who of all these people were. And I was getting them for being scum on other stuff. Heck, they were scum for sale. And I knew that. You know, sooner or later, this stuff comes out. So all of a sudden, they want to talk to me now. How'd you know so much? County attorney's office got me in. They want to know how I know so much. I go, let me tell you how much I know. I know enough to know that you're never going to fix it. That's how much I know. Been nice talking to you. Have a nice day. They knew that I knew. This is what was going on. When they went in and it started becoming a gravy train of everybody handing this out, it leaked out somewhere inside politics that this was a sting. Immediately, all of a sudden, the Speaker of the House, which later became governor, Jane D. Hull, I ran against her for Secretary of State in 94. I ran against her for legislature twice. I'd never brought it up in the campaign though. This had nothing. I don't care about all this little stuff. It's a, you know, philosophy of government in general kind of going after. I don't even mention the other candidate. That's just an opportunity for us to yak about whatever I want to yak about and all this little outquitted stuff that couldn't possibly care less. We're looking to change a culture. Now, what she did as Speaker of the House is they went to Arizona Republic, had them do a report on Saturday morning, front page, watch out, sting underway, run away. And the reporter she had that did this, that was working on this case, later got paid $4,000 a month to be a liaison, a public relations person for the Speaker of the House, for the House representatives. This is how this works. Oh, there's a lot more.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Yeah, let's take a look. Just a little teeny-weeny peek. It's all so connected. What happened then, I want to share with you how we get to where we are now, is that we had ASCAM, which was a sting operation done by the county attorney's office here to demonstrate how corrupt the politics was here. And he didn't, you know, he's the county attorney. He can do his own operation, whatever. He brings in a few of his own boys. They can do whatever. and then use it to whatever advantage they, whatever. Well, you know, the machine doesn't like that none too much. What they did, and this is before Arpaio became sheriff, right before, they got them all on tape. There was one, and there's all these guys, they, you know, it was entertainment, but one guy, his name was Alan Stevens. He was Senate Majority Leader. And when the Democrats controlled the Senate, he was caught taking, I think it was around $4,000. Now, in the book, What's in It for Me that I have is connected up there on the site. It was written by a gentleman named Derry Matera. Derry Matera does a lot of historical biographies, like, you know, John Dillinger and Elvis Presley. And, you know, that's what he does for a living. Now, he also had a column in the Arizona Republic in the East Valley when I started doing radio in 03, and he wrote some pretty controversial stuff, had him on, and we became friends. And I told him, I said, there is no way you're going to be able to keep doing this stuff and write for these. Oh, yeah, no, they want, my wife's a journalism professor at ASU. They want, you know, I got all these credentials. And I go, man, you don't get it, you know, do you? Well, you're going to find out. Sure enough, he did. He crossed the line. They said, we don't need you no more. So we would continually have him on every week anyway, talk about news of the day. Now, in the early 90s, he wrote this book called What's in It for Me. What it was about was the sting. And it was really about Joe Stadino, the hood that they hired to do all this stuff. They became friends because he was kind of that guy anyway, kind of guy. Alan Stevens was on videotape taking the bribe. All of a sudden, he gets a criminal defense attorney, blah, blah, I'll quit it, know where the body's buried, everything. All of a sudden, the tape goes away, wouldn't be prudent at this juncture, I can't find it, it's garbled, whatever, boom, he gets off. Sues, and he gets the state to pay his attorney fees, which is like, I don't know, $60,000+ that he got to pay for her. He got a little bit of an extra settlement. He got to keep the money and profit from it. His criminal defense attorney was Janet Napolitano. Janet Napolitano, proving herself, goes on to be U.S. Assistant Attorney under Janet Reno in the Clinton administration. She then prosecutes the Viper Militia, which was a made-up whatever thing, militia kind of stuff here in Arizona. Good friend of mine did 5.5 years for conspiring to teach, okay? So we understand this intimately. And in his countersuit to her, a civil suit, I think it was $40, $60 million. Yes, that became part of her running for governor in 92, '02, this information, look, this is what they did and so on, and that's a whole nother long story. But what happened was this. She's a U.S. assistant attorney, does the bidding of the DOJ and Clinton administration, and Reno does what they want. Then she's running for attorney general. She gets attorney general, but not until she's filing some kind of civil rights violations against the Joes, Tent City. Joe Arpaio, Tent City, pink underwear, all that kind of stuff. Well, here comes federal government. Oh, you can't do. Well, they worked out a deal. Come to find out, he's ex-DEA, DOJ. These guys are all part of the same thing. So they kind of worked out a deal where she kind of drops that away, and then he doesn't go after her for going for governor and whatever. She gets elected as governor. First, she's attorney general in 98 to 92, and she gets elected in 02. As governor of the state of Arizona. From there, she goes on to be head of Homeland Security. So we see Janet Napolitano come on as a criminal defense attorney for corrupt politicians, U.S. assistant attorney prosecuting militias for Clinton Reno, attorney general, governor, Homeland Security director. Wow. Oh, and I forgot to tell you one other little part, that Alan Stevens, that corrupt legislator that she defended and everything, when she became governor, he became her co-chief of staff. You can't write this stuff fiction. I mean, you know, wow. All right. Arpaio comes in as DEA. I'm going to, you know, we're going to go get him. We're going to put a bubble around Maricopa County. We're going to search every car going in and out of Maricopa County. We're going to get this drug war taken care of. Well, Romley, he's kind of, you know, not that he's any saint or anything. He's like, there is this Constitution thing, you know? Ouch, quit it. They go after each other back and forth. Their county board of supervisors, they're tired of paying for the lawsuits, tens and tens of millions of dollars that Arpaio is racking up and all these suits and different things. He's killing people in jail and doing all kinds of stuff. They got him in restraining chairs, asphyxiation, you know, jackboot, you know, hands around throat, knee, whatever, justifiable homicide kind of, same kind of thing you saw Adam Kokesh at Thomas Jefferson Memorial, the copper, you know, hands around throat kind of stuff. I mean, it's just, you know, this stuff goes on all the time here. So now we're looking at how we have what's happening right now going on the last couple of weeks that we're going to be opening up, how the Department of Sheriff Joe's Sheriff's Department is involved in, or at least individuals in it are involved in drug trafficking and in human trafficking, how they're doing it, who's doing it, who they're related to, what their history is, who are the people that, you know, supervising them, don't think they're the ones in charge. How is this happening? As this opens up, you start to see a line that goes all the way back as far as when I was in freaking grade school. It's not the same kind of people. It's the same people. They never go away. You know, this is, and the same people that are involved in it in politics, they hold different positions in the media. This is why you never are going to get this stuff fixed. That's why. Even those that are the most against illegal drug usage or the usage of some illegal drugs, you know, it depends on who writes a little script and says they are or aren't. Those people, those that really want to do away with the harm of drugs, have to understand the drug war is far more devastating to our society, to our liberties. That's why you have Jen Brewer, which is the governor now, was Secretary of State, ran against her. Know her. She's, you know, has limits. What she's doing is now they're going to court saying, nope, nope, this medical marijuana where everybody voted 15 gazillion to whatever that we're going to have debt, nope. And they've, this is like the second, third time the Arizonans have voted for decriminalization in some form. And they just say, nope, never mind. They changed the law. The first time they said, nah, we just changed it. So the people that was in support of it did another initiative saying when the people do an initiative, you can't change it unless you got 3/4 of a majority in the legislature or something. Well, what happened was when they did that, then of course, everybody and their grandma came up with some kind of initiative says that, you know, we can take more tax money for, you know, toenail clippers or whatever, and there's nothing you can do about it. And so it just messed everything up. I'm just, hey, this government thing is, you know, you're not going to fix it. So now they do away with that. They can't change the initiative. So now they're looking for a court remedy saying you can't do it. Federal government, this, that, so on, whatever. They put it off. They held it. They kicked it down the road. Why? Who benefits? Can't have all these people out there just growing and getting their own marijuana without it going through the peoples that they want it to. That's why. Immigration, same thing. There's a lot of money to be made in that. You're not going to fix it. That's why. So you want to know how we got to fix? You're not going to fix it. The big baddest of the bad, the ones at the peak tippy top of this things, are the ones that benefit from it. They're not going. They don't want to fix it. It's just campaign rhetoric. And people here, if they didn't already know it, they're learning it more and more every day. And I know which side I'm going to be on. Freedom's the answer. What's the question?
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show. Who grew up tall and proud, in the shadow of the mushroom cloud, which now voices can't be heard, just want to scream louder and louder and louder. What the hell we fighting for?
Yeah! Fighting for here and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day here on the LRN.FM network from Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, beautiful studios from the beautiful studios on the farm here at Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Oh, yeah, go get the magazine, man. Very cool. Lots of great reviews coming in. Heck, you know, they're giving bottles of champagne in Sierra. It's very nice. And thanks for that, Gary. Now, the There is a gentleman that I had here Saturday. He visited. He was a police officer in New Hampshire. His name is Bradley Jardis. Now, Bradley kind of came to infamy when John McCain went to New Hampshire, and because he's law enforcement, of course, you know, they give him some deference. Oh, yes, you are more than welcome to publicly in a forum where everybody is watching and videotaping ask a question of the good Senator John McCain because you're a policing man. You go right on ahead. And he asked a question, basically went like this. We're in danger on the line out here, this drug war thing, man. And there's every evidence that it's better just to not, and let's not. And what do you think about not? Oh, heck no. Oh, definitely got to have drug war, love drug war. So this got him in trouble. Now, he subsequently joined LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. I think maybe even before he made that comment. And this puts them in a unique situation. Law Enforcement Against Prohibition is a group of retired and, I guess, active law enforcement that are sworn to uphold and defend the Constitution and all this other stuff and the laws of, but they're going, man, this drug war, this prohibition thing's not working out. They're going, no. We get a vote, we vote no. You know, we don't want to have nothing to do with this. Nope, no how. Don't care how many tanks we got. Because they get all kinds of goodies. Now, we're showing up on the screen, scrolling some pictures, and one of them's of an M109 mobile artillery piece that is Sheriff Joe's that he uses to go around and busting in doing its, you know, damn. And he gets that from the government. And he got three black helicopters or whatever they were, forward-looking infrared. Oh, it's to find. I talked to him about it. Joe, I mean, come on, man. What's that? Seriously? Oh, yeah, to find lost hikers. That's what we use with it. I'm like, okay. That's the story. You're going to stick to it. I get it. All right. Need three of them. So this is the kind of rewards that you get from the government as long as you're playing ball. And then there's a bunch of examples. We can go on and on about all this stuff because he's been sheriff since 92 or 93, you know, election 92. So this is a long dang time. And the boy's getting, you know, he's up there in age. So this is interesting how this is all going to wind down eventually. And then who takes its place? Because it's just a position. Whoever is going to be there next is just the next guy that does whatever he's supposed to do. So, and he's been doing a good job. So here you have Bradley Jardis is a law enforcement individual that starts to, you know, become vocal. Well, he was a policeman since he was 17. He was a senior in high school. Now, he's a small community. You know, a few people on the force. They like him. He's a good character. He got, you know, straight. I mean, before he even graduated, he's writing tickets to classmates, senior high. They're like, what the heck? Are you undercover narc or something? Seriously, he was law enforcement. So he goes in. He likes the position. Oh, shiny badge, man. Us versus them. Ooh. Free State Project comes in. He starts doing some information on LEAP. He starts, you know, just because he wants to be the good guy. He starts doing some research and comes to the conclusion he's a bad guy. So he's trying to redeem his soul and coming out and convince brethren and make his point known. And I met him a few years ago in Manchester when we were there at one of the taverns. And they wanted me to meet the policeman that's part of LEAP. And I'm like, all right, so give me your spiel. And I go, you can't do both. You can't hold these positions and hold this position. You just can't. I mean, you can try and do it how that works out, but you let me know how it works out. So he's visiting here in Arizona. He comes by Saturday and he speaks to the Arizona Breakfast Club. Then we came and we interviewed for like an hour, hour and a half. I have the two sections, part one, part two, because I need to go to the bathroom. So what we did is we go ahead and just recorded the two segments. I put it together. It's on today's archive. And we'll put it up as a separate article also. Did you put it up as a separate story? No, that's good. Okay, so it's up. So what happens is that here's someone that grew up, I mean, became an adult inside the police force, exposed all this information, processing it, being the bad guy, felt bad about a lot of the things that he did. We talked about in the interview. Come on, tell me, just how much of a jackbooted thug were you? You know, did you use your left or your right jackboot? Jackboot on their throat, government. So he's trying to redeem it. And finally, they got to where, no, they wanted to fire him. He went to the termination and he won. They go, nope, got to reinstate him. He didn't do anything wrong. You know, per your own rules, Alchquette, he goes back for one day. And he says, okay, I came back there, proved it, I'm done. He didn't, never went back. He goes, I'm good. I'm going to do something else. So he's hauling heavy freight, you know, the big giant flatbed, you know, truck steel kind of stuff as he's saving money and traveling the country and getting to see a lot of people and spend and hang with a lot of people that know his story. And, you know, we were glad to, you know, spend time with him and visit and have a good time. And he's going back to law school. He wants to get his pass the bar exam, become a lawyer, and eventually run as sheriff. Because he thinks from a position of authority, he's going to be able to do some good. I, you know, not going to bust his bubble. I gave him my opinion, but I'm like, hey, man, you know, whatever. So he's going to do it. My biggest problem, I don't have a problem in running for sheriff. It's just feeling he's got to go to law school to do it. I'm like, seriously? There's some credibility for these guys that's going to, you know, what, you think that's going to get you votes? You know, but he wants to learn, and he wants to get in the process. He wants to be able to go through and argue and do, okay, cool. At least he's, you know, he seems like he's convinced in his head he knows what he wants to do and why. All right, good for you, Bradley. Go get him. Now, the interview was very enlightening. I enjoyed it a great deal. We learned a lot. But he knows what all of us know that's been involved in this from being on the front line, just like Sheriff Richard Mack. Sheriff Richard Mack was undercover narc. He was a sheriff in southeastern Arizona. He knows. We talk about this stuff all the time. A lot of these guys in Oath Keepers, they know. They've been through this a lot. Leap, they know. They do it. It's not like I think I know. I know. From personal experience and from people that I trust that are out there saying, you're never going to fix this stuff. So this is going to be a interesting election cycle as we go through with the internet and all this evidence of how the police state is doing what they're doing in the name of the drug wars. They're kicking in doors. They're killing in their living room Iraq war veterans. You know that. And I come to find out Saturday, Ed Vallejo, he said, what happened is a story is that Jose Garino Guerrero, he came up because his brother and people, they were in the drug trade. He was worried. He didn't have anything to do with it. So all of a sudden they're busting in. He sees their police. So he lowers his gun, puts it on safe. It wasn't that he had it or he didn't take it off of safe. He was ready and put it down and put it on safe. Then they started shooting him. They knew that he put it down. He had a drop on him, and then he puts it down, puts it on safe. Then they started shooting him. Oh, we got helmet cam. Where are they? Got the helmet cam from the guys going back. What happens when a helmet cam shows them pulling it, putting the gun down, putting it on safe? Then what? Drug war's got to go. Regardless of what your position is on drugs and how and this and that, whatever. Well, if they do drugs, and they'll get sick, and they'll go to the emergency room, and I got to pay for their, not in the Libertarian Society. No, you can do whatever. Go to a witch doctor. You do fix yourself. Go down to the store and buy your own sutures and use a mirror and put morphine in and do it yourself, man. We don't care. You know, this is what freedom does. It gives you more opportunities. It makes it cheaper. You can pay in chickens. I mean, it's just, you know, you take away all these options to be able to take care of yourself or to go to alternatives or the guy down or the old wives knows how and I got a sewing machine, whatever the heck. You can't do that. So you're limited to options of what they gave you. And then they say, oh, you got to be licensed to do this, and you can't. And all of a sudden, you feel like you're protected somehow. And all it is just a racket. You know, freedom's the answer. What's the question? And I'm telling you, drugs and immigration. This last 2 hours, I just wanted to kind of give you from our perspective, we don't think we know. We know. We know. You're never going to fix it. It's too corrupt. It always has been. It always will be. When you prohibit things, it makes them very profitable. And the people that benefit from this more than anyone are the drug dealers and the law enforcers that oftentimes are the same thing. Sheriff Arpaio, Mr. Toughest Sheriff in America, is rife inside his own department with this and is breaking out now. And now you know some of the rest of the story. Yeah, think about it. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Don't stop believing.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of freedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readers of freedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured. Tour.